We're joined now by Carlo Broussard from Catholic Answers. And if you haven't picked up his book, that is all about defending the church, defending Christ, defending the existence of God itself, then do yourself a favor and pick it up. Today, Carlo, we're talking about the historical evidence for Christ. How are you?
Hey, Matt, I'm doing well, brother. It's good to hear your voice.
Yours as well. And in your book, Prepare the Way, you talk about the existence of Jesus. And some people say, like if, for instance, you watch the History Channel or pay attention to the Jesus movement or the historical Jesus people, they say, well, we can't really trust the stuff we have about Jesus because the best source that we have is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and some writings from St. Paul. That's all in the New Testament. And all these people believed in Jesus, so they were biased, and therefore we can't trust them. We don't know enough about him from other sources besides the Bible to prove anything about Christ. How do we start to respond to something like that?
Yeah, you articulated the obstacle very well, Matt, because the idea is, well, since they're Christians, they're just writing to push an agenda rather than relate accurate history. So in the book, what I point out for our first strategy, Matt, is that we have to show that the demand for non-biblical references to Jesus' existence is unreasonable. First of all, the argument assumes that the Gospels are not trustworthy, that they're not historically reliable, which I've already proven to be false in the previous chapter in the book. So if the Gospels are generally trustworthy, historically speaking, well then this bias argument doesn't even get off the ground because the Gospels could be trusted that Jesus existed. Second, Matt, the skeptics' demand for non-Christian sources is based on this assumption that the Gospel writers can't be trusted since they're Christian. But that's unsound reasoning. Just because someone cares about the content that he's reporting about, it doesn't make him untrustworthy. If that were the case, Matt, well, then we couldn't trust what Plato tells us about Socrates because he was Socrates' disciple. We couldn't trust what an American historian says about George Washington. We couldn't trust what a Jewish author writes about the Holocaust. Obviously, from those examples, we can see that just because somebody cares about something doesn't mean they're not going to relate history accurately. Another thought is having Christian sources, Matt, actually ensures accuracy. They care about it, so they're going to want to relate history in an accurate way. And finally, this insistence from skeptics that we ignore the New Testament as evidence of Jesus' existence, that's just simply bad historiography. That's bad historical research. As the Christian apologist William Lane Craig said, you know, why would we reject these primary, earliest sources in favor of secondary, less reliable, and later sources? That's just bad historical methodology. So for these reasons, it's unreasonable to demand non-biblical references to Jesus' existence.
Well, I think that there are several things wrapped up in this. Well, I'll get to the second one in a second. But first of all, are there sources outside the New Testament that show that Jesus existed?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that was easy.
So, here you go. Here's the evidence. So, even if we concede the skeptics' push for non-biblical references, we can meet that inquiry. So, for example, we have a quote from the first century Roman historian Cornelius Tacitus from AD 115 in his work Annals. He talks about the Christians, and he talks about Christ, from whom the name had its origin, suffered the extreme penalty of crucifixion during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one of our procurators, Pontius Pilate. We even have a first century Jewish historian, Flavius Josephus, in his Antiquities of the Jews, both in Book 18 and in Book 20 of that work, he refers to Jesus. And in Book 18, he even confirms and concurs with Tacitus that Jesus died under Pontius Pilate. Pilate had him condemned to a cross from his name, the tribe, so-called Christians, and they haven't appeared even until the day that he's writing. So we do have extra-biblical sources among skeptics, among non-Christians, affirming the existence of Jesus.
And there's another one in here, and you talk about this in your chapter, Carlo, and that is that I could get a group of friends together and we could make up the legend of Crybaby Bridge on some rickety road, back road in my county, and we could spread that and all agree on a story about this legend and get it out there. But I can guarantee you that me and my friends get threatened with torture and death, we're going to say, yeah, it was just all made up. Sorry about that.
That's right. This brings us to strategy three in the book. And you cannot intelligibly explain the rise of Christianity and its rapid growth if Jesus never existed. Even Tacitus, what's interesting is that within the context of that quote I was referring to from Cornelius Tacitus, right after he talks about this group of Christians deriving their name from the Christ, who suffered crucifixion on Pontius Pilate, he speaks of the Christians as an immense multitude and how they were convicted and how mockery of every sort was added to their deaths. Talks about them being nailed to crosses and flames and burnt as nightly illumination, right? Now, notice an immense multitude suffered death instead of denying their Christian beliefs. If Jesus never existed, how do you explain the success and the spread of the Christian movement? You can't. So the only reasonable explanation is that Jesus indeed did exist.